Greetings, and welcome to the AeroTech Corporation Fourth Quarter 2017 Earnings Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Yaakov Haraz, General Counsel of AeroTech Corporation. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Stacy. I would like to welcome everyone to AeroTech's fourth quarter 2017 earnings call. Hosting the call today are Dean Crutty, our CEO, and Tom Paup, our Chief Financial Officer. Before I turn the call over to Dean and Tom, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will, in fact, occur. AeroTech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of AeroTech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospects for the future. Unless it is otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be provided on a non-GAAP basis. Full reconciliations of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are included in the earnings release. And with that, I'd like to now introduce AeroTech's CEO, Dean Crutty. Dean, the call is yours.
Thank you, Yaakov. Good morning, everyone. For the fourth quarter of 2017, AeroTech reported $29 million in revenues and $3.2 million in adjusted EBITDA. These results reflect an improvement over each of the first three quarters of 2017, as our revenues and earnings increased in the fourth quarter as anticipated. Our training and simulation division achieved $15.1 million in fourth quarter revenue, while our power systems division delivered $13.9 million of revenue in the quarter. Our training and simulation division reversed a slow start in the first half of 2017 to finish the year with strong momentum and backlog as we enter 2018. The air warfare simulation segment of this division booked $6.5 million in new orders in the fourth quarter, continuing the strong demand we've seen all year for this cornerstone business area. Our Milo Force Options and Judgmental Training products recorded a second consecutive year of record sales, contributing $14 million in revenues in 2017 and $17 million in bookings. This is partially driven by our continued success in winning funding on the $40 million IDIQ contract we hold with the Department of State, but also comes from broad support, both domestically and internationally, for our state-of-the-art products. Our vehicle simulation group is well positioned to grow in both the commercial and military segments in 2018. The previously highlighted awards from the Army National Guard, as well as our U.S. Army Virtual Clearance Training Suites program, should provide an increased revenue base in 2018 as we look to add further military training and simulation programs. Our commercial vehicle simulation segment is also carrying important backlog into 2018, with significant active programs from a diverse customer base, including the Department of State, the San Francisco Metropolitan Transit Authority, and the region of Waterloo in Canada. These customers all came to our FACT subsidiary with significant awards in the third or fourth quarter last year and are anticipated to contribute $3.5 million of revenue in 2018. We believe stronger performance by our vehicle simulation group and continued momentum from our air warfare and Milo products should lead to improved performance in 2018 for our training and simulation division. AeroTech's power system subsidiary in Israel executed well on its battery production contracts for the MR2790 and MR2791 batteries for the IDF in the fourth quarter, and is poised to complete these deliveries in the first quarter of 2018. However, our expectations with respect to weaker 2018 battery orders at Epsilor will lead us to close our leased facility in Zerat, Israel by the end of the first quarter, and once again produce all of our military batteries in our larger and longer-standing plant in Dimona, Israel. While we had hoped that new battery orders would have allowed the Zerat plant to continue, this has not happened. In the fourth quarter, we started a new development program for the Israeli Defense Forces under subcontract to Israel Aerospace Industries that will deliver a large battery design for an unmanned, autonomous underwater vehicle program. We expect this development, as well as other ongoing developments, to continue to increase the breadth of our product offerings. Another important new product development is our 6T lithium-ion tank battery. This promising development is now undergoing field trials with the Israel Defense Forces. Our Power Systems Group in the United States completed an important program milestone in Q4 with the delivery of the Mobile Electric Hybrid Power Sources, or MEPS program, to the U.S. Marine Corps. Our investment over the course of 2017 was significant, but we believe it will pay dividends. We look forward to working with the Marines over the next 6 months as they perform system testing on this product. Our Distributed Power Control and Management System program, or DPCMS, also for the U.S. Marine Corps, continues to execute on low-rate initial production, and as we deliver these systems, we expect the program to generate $5 million in revenue over the course of 2018. This program is progressing as expected and is on track to move to full-rate production in 2019. Also of note in the fourth quarter for our U.S. power segment was an order from one of our recurring contract manufacturing customers, whose business improvement allowed them to order $3.2 million in automated medical sterilization devices, representing a quantity twice the normal run rate for this customer. We believe that our U.S. subsidiaries will continue to grow into 2018, but expect contraction in our Israel power subsidiary, and now provide revenue guidance for 2018 in the range of $100 to $105 million of revenue, with adjusted earnings forecast at $7 to $8 million. Before I turn the call over to Tom for a detailed review of our financial results, I'd like to remind listeners that our guidance is provided as of today, and we undertake no obligation to update our estimates in the future. With that, I'd like now to turn the call over to Tom. Tom, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dean. Let's start with the fourth quarter. Revenues for the fourth quarter were $29 million compared to $21.5 million for the comparable period of 2016, an increase of 35%. This year-over-year increase was due to higher revenues in both of our divisions. Gross profit for the fourth quarter was $7.9 million, or 27.3% of revenues, compared to $5.6 million, or 26% of revenues, for the prior year period. Operating expense from continuing operations were $6 million, or 20.6% of revenues in the fourth quarter of 2017, compared to $7.3 million, or 34.2% of revenues in the year-ago quarter. Operating income for the fourth quarter of 2017 was $2 million, compared to an operating loss of $1.7 million for the corresponding period in 2016. The company's net income from continuing operations for the fourth quarter was $4.4 million, or 17 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to a net loss from continuing operations of $2 million, or 8 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period last year. The 2017 net income from continuing operations includes a $3.2 million income tax benefit as a result of the U.S. Tax Cuts and Jobs Act related to the reduction in the corporate tax rates from 35 to 21%, causing us to adjust in the fourth quarter the first three quarters accrual at the higher rate. Adjusted earnings per share, or adjusted EPS, for the quarter was 8 cents compared to 1 cent for the corresponding period in 2016. Adjusting earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, adjusted EBITDA, for the fourth quarter was approximately $3.2 million compared to $757,000 for the corresponding period in 2016. We believe that information concerning adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS enhances overall understanding of our current financial performance. Aerotech computes adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EPS, which are non-GAAP financial measures, as reflected in the tables of yesterday's press release. As it pertains to the full year 2017, revenues for the full year were $98.7 million compared to $93 million for the full year 2016, an increase of 6.2%. The year-over-year increase was due to higher revenues in both divisions. Gross profit for the year was $27.6 million, or 28% of revenues, compared to $28.2 million, or 30.3% of revenues, for the prior year. Operating expenses from continuing operations were $24.7 million, or 25.1% of revenues, compared to $27.9 million, or 30% of revenues for the prior year. The operating income for the full year 2017 was $2.9 million, compared to operating income of $214,000 for full year 2016. The company's net income from continuing operations for 2017 was $3.8 million, or 15 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to a net loss from continuing operations of $1.5 million, or a loss of 6 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period last year. As previously stated, the 2017 net income from continuing operations includes a $3.2 million income tax benefit as a result of the U.S. Tax and Job Cuts Act related to the reduction in corporate tax rate from 35 to 21%, causing us to adjust in the fourth quarter the first three quarters accrual at the higher rate. Adjusted earnings per share, or adjusted EPS, for the year ended December 31st, 2017 was 17 cents, the same amount as it was in 2016. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or adjusted EBITDA, for 2017 was $7.6 million compared to $7.1 million for 2016. Backlog of orders as of December 31st, 2017 totaled $61.1 million versus $55.4 million for the same time last year, an increase of 10%. Backlog in the training and simulation division totaled $38.8 million versus $18.8 million as of 12/31/2016. Backlog in the power division totaled $22.3 million versus $36.6 million as of 12/31/2016. Turning to the balance sheet, as of December 31st, 2017, the company had $5.5 million in cash and cash equivalents as compared to December 31st, 2016, when the company had $7.4 million in cash and cash equivalents. As of December 31st, 2017, the company had a total debt of $15.9 million, consisting of $5.1 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $10.8 million in long-term loans. This is in comparison to December 31st, 2016, when the company had a total debt of $13.5 million, consisting of $3 million in short-term debt and $10.5 million in long-term loans. The company also had $9.1 million in available unused bank lines of credit with our primary bank as of December 31, 2017, as under a $15 million revolving credit facility. The company has maintained our current ratio, that is, current assets divided by current liabilities, of 2.0 for both 17 and 16. As of December 31, 2017, the company had net operating loss carryforwards for U.S. federal income tax purposes of $40.7 million, which are available to offset future taxable income, if any, expiring in 2021 through 2032. Utilization of U.S. net operating losses is subject to annual limitations due to provisions of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 and similar state provisions. That concludes our prepared remarks. Before we open up the call for Q&A, I'd like to remind all participants that Dean and Kelly Keller, our new CFO as of April 1st, are regularly available to the investment community, and throughout the year they look to participate in relevant conferences and investor events. Operator, you may now open up the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from Mike Rufford with B. Riley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Can you provide the segment revenue and EBITDA for the year and then talk about why you don't appear to be expecting any margin improvement in 2018? And then finally, what would be your margin targets for both of these businesses?
Some of this information relative to the GAAP side of it, Mike, will be available. We plan to file our 10-K after the close of business today. But we can give you an update on the revenue for the year. In the power division, it's about $48.5 million. In the simulation division, it's 50.3. Okay. In terms of EBITDA, you know, we also use a negative EBITDA for corporate, so we add up the power, the simulation, and then have a negative number for corporate. The total amount is $7.6 million, as we described in our in my remarks. That is made up of 1.9 in power, 8.6 in simulation, with a negative offset of 2.9 in the corporate segment.
Yes, and the guidance implies no real change in margin and long-term margin goals.
Mike, I think what I'm trying to bring out in the script is that while we are improving in both of our U.S. Subsidiaries, we're taking a setback in Israel due to unexpected decrease in orders from the Ministry of Defense in Israel. This is something that is not precedent and go back the last 5 years. We've always had a very steady stream of orders, and last year, as you know, we were working off some very large orders for the two batteries that I mentioned in the script. So we're basically in our U.S. power trading good performance in Israel with good performance in the United States coming into next year, and the net effect will be not a big change in our overall margin expectation for power. And we expect SIM to continue to be strong as it has been over the last, you know, foreseeable past.
Right. And just to repeat, it was a three-part question, so now we've gotten through two of them, and the third part was, what are your longer-term expectations for these businesses?
Right. So certainly our expectation is to get our power division performing at a much higher level. We could see that the big battery orders that we were working in Israel would leave us with you know, a small amount of contraction next year. We did not anticipate the amount of it. We really didn't get any orders last year from the Ministry of Defense to speak of, which caused us now to be forecasting a gross margin for 2018 similar to 2017, but it's really inverted, you know, who's providing good earnings and who's not. That is, the U.S. will be doing much better in 18, and Israel will be doing not as well. Long-term, when we get those two working together, I would expect that we'd pick up about 10% from where we've been operating and what we're using to forecast 2018 in that division.
Okay, thanks, Dean.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Alex Gates with Clayton Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Dean. I was wondering if you could just comment on some of the timing that happened in Israel with regard to these battery orders. I know you guys were working through the larger battery orders, and you had mentioned that before, but on the last conference call, I think, you know, we talked about, obviously, the back half of 17 coming together, and it did, and you delivered, I think, close to $6 million of EBITDA. And you seemed like that was a decent run rate for you guys into 18. So did something change materially in the last 4 months with regard to the Israel division? I was just wondering if you could comment a bit further on that.
Yeah, so I think we've been transparent in our power backlog, having been getting worked through each quarter last year. And as you know, Alex, actually in all of our divisions, so there's quite a bit of churn with the number of contracts that we land and fill each year. Well over 600 contracts last year contributed to our performance. And the timing of when we bring in the work versus when we work it isn't the easiest thing to forecast. Now, each quarter in the past, you know, we've seen some orders, especially from our primary customer in Israel, for new batteries. And it wasn't until late in the year that the expectation for battery business in 2018 became apparent that it would be as bad as we're now projecting. That's not to say that we can't turn that around in 2018, but whereas last year we were fairly confident about the or we're reasonably confident that our simulation group, for instance, could make up for the low backlog based on the pipeline that they had, We don't see, and we don't think it would be responsible right now to forecast new battery orders that would land and fill in 18 to significantly improve from what we just guided.
Okay, and do you see this, I mean, it sounds like you see this as somewhat of a temporary setback, and they should continue with these orders potentially in the future such that you could get back to the normal historical rates that you've had?
That's correct. We absolutely see it as unfortunate, temporary, you know, fall off that went from something that was very predictable over the last 5 years to something that was unexpected. We do expect it to come back. We have not lost the confidence of the customer or picked up any competitors in Israel that would make it something that should be long-lasting. So you're correct. We expect this to be a blip.
Okay. And is there any incremental upside to this, I guess, EBITDA and earnings guidance from, say, the U.S. power group? I know you mentioned BPCMS coming on, and I think on the last call you had mentioned some new greens orders. So just wondering if there's any, upside and just how conservative you guys are being with this guidance.
We think the guidance is correct, from a probability standpoint. I think, Alex, when you look at the different pieces of the business, and you're obviously well-schooled on our different product areas, DPCMS is fairly fully figured into our guidance because we're very, very confident. Greens, we have quite a few opportunities that are figured lightly into our guidance, and certainly there are things in our pipeline in U.S. Power and in SIM that could easily make our guidance move. But I think for today, what we've guided is the most likely outcome.
Right. Okay. Well, that's helpful. I wish you guys the best of luck going forward. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, given this guidance, we're going to have, you know, basically flat EBITDA and earnings for 3 years in a row, given all the positive changes that have gone on at the company. So hopefully we're ready for the inflection in 19 and 20. That's kind of it for me. Thanks, Dean.
Thank you, Alex.
There are no further questions. I would like to turn the floor over to Dean Cruddy for closing comments.
Thank you, operator. We appreciate everybody calling in today and for your interest in AeroTech, and that concludes our call for today.